Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Our lives have been so enriched to sing these songs of praise to the Lord and to bow our heads in prayer and talk to God on a repeated basis to remember Jesus and all that He's done to us or for us through the grace of our God. It's just a joy to be a Christian and to belong to Him three times. And He lost all three times. But He thought the third time He had a real good chance. However, He held a position, though what He thought Himself to be moderate, He held a position in a very divisive subject. And finally, because of His position in that very divisive subject, He lost His bid for president the third time. It was the year 1740, about the same time that Charles Wesley penned that song that we sang just a few minutes ago. His name was Clay Henry. And when he learned that he was not going to be president, he made a speech in which this statement was included. He said, "I'd rather be right than president." Let me say that again. "I'd rather be right than president." Today we talk about the Bill of Rights, civil rights, human rights, Mr. Right. The price is right. But I would dare say that when it comes to our walk with God, we would want to echo the words of Henry Clay. "I'd just rather be right." Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. We want to begin this morning with verse 15 and following of Romans 7. While you're turning, "I'd rather be right with God." The good news is we can. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, Peter was before Cornelius. Friend fears him, that is, respects God, and does what is right. It'd be acceptable to God. "But I must do what is right to be acceptable to God." And so we find that concept all through scriptures in verse 5. "But your for this is right," Ephesians 6, verse 1. "It is right to feel this way about you," Philippians 1, verse 7. "Whoever knows what is right and does not do it, for him it is sin," James 4:17. The Bible talks about doing the right thing all the time. And so I can be acceptable to God if I do what is right. Yes, it is just that simple. But not always easy. And I find that in the passage to which we've turned in Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. The words of Paul in the Standard Version: "I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate, that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Paul says, "I don't get it. I want to do what's right, but I end up doing what is wrong. What is wrong with me?" Now, if Paul had to struggle with that, as great a person as he is, I'm probably going to struggle too, and I do. How about you? As we are on the verge of a brand new year, 2022, I would like to share some thoughts that might help us be more prone to be right, whether we are ever president or not. Always be right with God. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to spell a word, and we're going to let every letter of that word stand for a thought that, if kept in mind, might help us be more prone to do the right thing all the time. The word is the word on our screen. Right. Spell it with me. It starts with what letter? R. Next. 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 Oh, there isn't a next, is there? I'm just checking to make sure you're with me. Now, we're going to spell that word, and each letter of the word is going to stand for something for us to keep in mind. Now, take pause. Because at the end of our lesson, we're going to take a test. And we're going to see how we do with that test. And I'm going to ask you, as we spell this word, it's going to be on the screen every single time. And I'm going to ask you, what's the next letter in the word right? And I'm going to ask you to tell me the word. But now I'm going to also demand something of you. Don't look at the bottom left of the screen. You can't look at it. You can't cheat whenever you're telling me how to spell the word right. Are you with me? We ready? Okay. So how do you spell the word right? With what letter? Don't look. With what letter does the word right begin? It begins with the letter R. And we're going to allow the letter R to stand for the word relationships. In particular, our relationships with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, the divine Godhead. God said through the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, "Come out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me." You see the relationship that God promises us if we isolate ourselves from the world and those that are not living right? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we have a similar concept. See what God has given us, what the Father has given us, in that we can be called children of God. Now, it is that relationship that we have with God that should be the driving factor behind our deciding to do what is right. There's an example in the Bible of an individual that did just that. He was the next to the youngest son of the patriarch Jacob. And just like his daddy, his name started with a J. Can you give me his name? What was the next to the youngest son of the patriarch Jacob? What was his name? Joseph. Now you remember that Joseph had older brothers, and their older brothers became extremely envious of him because Joseph, prior to Benjamin's birth, Joseph was daddy's pet, daddy's favorite. And so you remember reading in the latter chapters of Genesis how that the daddy didn't know it, but the brothers went out with Joseph one day and they threw Joseph in a pit, took that coat of many colors, sprinkled it with the blood of an animal, and came back and said that Joseph was dead. When in reality what they did was sold him to a caravan. And the caravan ended up selling him to Potiphar. And he was in Potiphar's house as a servant. He rose in Potiphar's house to be the number one servant over all of the household of Potiphar. And in Genesis chapter 39, we read that Potiphar's wife began to cast eyes in Joseph's direction, because Joseph was, as the Bible says, in essence, he was an individual that was sterling in appearance and stature. That means he was a hunk and he was something to look at. And especially to Miss Potiphar. And so on one occasion, Miss Potiphar came up to Joseph and propositioned him. Most of us are adults and understand the concept, since our children are gone to the back rooms. She propositioned him in that she wanted to have sex with him. And Joseph refused. And he refused by making this statement in Genesis 39, verse 9. How can I do this great wickedness? Pause. Had he yielded to the proposition, he would have engaged in adultery, and God recorded his words telling us what adultery is in the eyes of God. It is a great wickedness. Just a sidebar thought that I think is important to constantly keep before us. But he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say, how can I do this and do harm to my reputation? He didn't say, how can I do this and hurt my daddy's name? He didn't say, how can I do this and disappoint Potiphar, the head or the owner of the household? He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It was his relationship with God that moved Joseph to do the right thing. And so all year long, I need to keep that thought before my heart. When I'm tempted to do something I know in the Bible I read I shouldn't do, I simply need to ask, will this damage my relationship with God? Will God be disappointed in me if I do this? Will I hurt God if I do this? Relationships. Okay, how do you spell the word right? Don't look. What's the next letter? I heard it over here. It's the letter, thank you. It's the letter I. And we're going to let the letter I stand for the word influence. Reputation is what others think we are. Influence is what we are to others. And every one of us has an influence, be it for good or for bad. Romans 14, verse 7 says, no man lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. In fact, we have an influence. It was Paul that wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and he says, you are our epistle, known and read of all men. People are watching us. They are reading us. They are being impacted by us for the good or for the bad. Years ago, my deceased father, who was a preacher for 60 years, wrote a little book. It's called The Christian and His Influence. Great book. It sells to this day, though he's been gone from us for 16 years. It's in that little book that I read an illustration from my dad. He said there was a man that worked in a flour mill. And after he got off of work, he went to the grocery store, and every aisle of the grocery store he went down, a little flour would fall out of his breeches cuff. He would reach up and he would grab something off the shelf, and when he did, the flour from the cuff of his shirt would fall onto the shelves. And so the point that Dad was making was, wherever this man who worked in a flour mill, wherever he went in the grocery store, he left a little bit of himself behind him. And the point is this: wherever you and I go, with whomever you and I spend some time, we leave a little bit of ourselves behind. Let's make sure that what we leave behind in the hearts and lives of others is something that will help them do what is right as we strive to do the same. A great example of that would be the Apostle Paul. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I am." And you're going to find it easier to live like Jesus. "My influence," Paul said to others. So how do we spell the word right? What's the next letter in the word right? Don't look. Tell it to me. What's the next letter? We say, somebody over here. It's the letter G. We're going to let the letter G in the word right stand for the word glorify. You're the light of the world. A city set up on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither be in light a lamp. Put it under a bush. Put it on a stand. Gives light to all that are in the room. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, that is all encompassing. There's nothing outside that perimeter. Whatever you do. Say it again, Paul. Do all to the glory of God. Years ago, I read a book that perhaps some of you have had in your lap. It was Stephen Covey's Habits of a Highly Effective Person or Highly Effective People statement for their lives. Now, I've heard of purpose statements, but I've never thought about individuals saying, this is going to be the purpose statement for my life. I'm not sure if it was in that book or another that I was reading that the denominational evangelist Billy Graham referenced the fact that he had developed a personal purpose statement for his life. Do you have one? I was so challenged by that thought that I developed one. Now, I've adjusted it through the years. But in the latter years of my life, I have a very specific vision statement, mission statement, and purpose statement to which all action items, or through which all action items funnel. Could I share it with you? Here is my personal statement. That's a vision. So it's something you say, okay, I'm going to look 5 years, say, down the road, and this is what I want to see me as 5 years down the road, a vision statement. My vision statement is expose the heart of God to the world. I have a specific mission statement. And the mission statement is something that gets you focused so that you can ultimately see the vision statement a reality. My mission statement, just sharing this personally, is exalt Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus said himself, "No one comes to the Father but by me," in John 14. The only way I'm going to show people the heart of God is to show people Jesus. And so my vision statement is, exalt Jesus Christ, the Son of God. My purpose statement, my purpose for life, that helps me with that particular mission, leading to that specific vision. My purpose statement is the words of a little song that I learned a long time ago, maybe you too. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Every invitation to go somewhere to speak or to write about this or that, every invitation that is extended or not is channeled through that purpose, mission, and vision statement. If we will all do something like that, it will help us to channel our skill sets and be far, far, far more productive and less busy. Now, the Holy Spirit through Paul helps us by kind of drawing a bold circle around all of this vision, mission, purpose, statement, action item, and that bold perimeter is whatever is inside the circle, you make sure it glorifies God. There's an example of someone in the Old Testament, just like that. You could not think of him unless you thought of his relationship with God. Remember Daniel and the other satraps of Daniel's time, and how they were envious of him because he was climbing the corporate ladder of success, so to speak. And so they tried to figure out ways that they could cut Daniel off at the knees. And then this statement was made of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, it says, verse 5, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." You're not going to find anything wrong with that man unless you pit civil authority against his God's authority. You couldn't think of Daniel without thinking about his relationship with God. And so all year long next year, I need to ask, if I do this, will it hurt my relationship with God? Will it hurt or help my influence for that which is good? If I do this, will it be something that will bring glory, honor, and praise to the God that I love? How do you spell the word right? What's the next letter? Somebody over here. Somebody besides the front row. This sweetheart right here, she's got it. She can spell. Nobody else over here knows how to spell, apparently. I guess math is your subject. What's the next letter? Are y'all sisters? You're not sisters, you're just good friends? You're good friends that sit together at school because you're both smart and you know how to spell, right? The next letter is the letter H. What do you think the next letter H is supposed to stand for? Someone says, heaven. No. We're going to let the letter H stand for the word hurt. It's Romans chapter 13, verse 10 that says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. I like the New King James Version better. Love does no harm. If I love you, I'm not going to do something that hurts you. Now, sometimes we have to do things that are painful, but we're not going to do things that are emotionally harmful. We must have deep devotion for other people's emotions. Romans chapter 12, if you back up a page, it's Romans chapter 12 about verse 16 that says, repay not evil, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to that which is honorable. Paraphrased, don't get even. Do what's right. Don't make it right, do what's right. Don't hurt anybody. A great example of that would be the Apostle Paul. I'm reminded in Acts, the Apostle Paul made a statement, and the Jewish rulers didn't like the statement. And the high priest ordered someone to slap him. And so Paul got a slap across the face. And Paul turned to the man that gave the order and he said, "May the Lord slap you, you whitewashed sepulcher." And somebody says, "You don't talk to the high priest that way." And Paul had to say, I'm sorry. I didn't know he was high priest. Because the Old Testament forbade you to speak blasphemous words against the high priest. Paul had to backtrack. There were times in the apostle's life that the emotions got the best of him. But I love what he wrote toward the end of his life. He's an old man. He's in prison. And these are some of the very last words that he ever penned by inspiration. When he said to the apostle, or to the young Timothy, verse 14 of 2 Timothy 4, "Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm." But then he made this statement, "The Lord will repay him according to his deeds." Paul said to Timothy, "Be aware of this man. He's really hurt me. But I'm going to let the Lord take care of him." If you're like me, when you try to step into the arena and you try to make something the way you think it ought to be, you end up making a bigger mess than you had to start with. But when somebody hurts you, if you'll just step back and give that somebody in that circumstance to the Lord, it may take a while, but it's going to absolutely amaze you to see what God will do in reference to that situation. Here is a man who was hurt, but he said, "I'm going to let God take care of that. Love does no harm." So all year long, as a teenager, say, "I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt my mama and daddy." How about that one? All year long, I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt, damage the emotions of those that are my peers. All year long, I'm not going to act any way in Bible, in class that is going to hurt my instructor for that given period or another. Not going to hurt anybody. How do you spell right? We come down to the last letter. So we're going to shift gears. We know they know how to spell. Over here. Don't look. How do you, what's the last letter of the word right? What'd you say? T. Thank you. He was a little shy. Thank you for saying it. Hey, did you look? Did you look? You looked, didn't you? We're going to let the letter T stand for the word truth. You remember the words of Jesus? "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Aren't those great words? In 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, this is one of the first passages my daddy had me memorize. The first one he had me memorize was, "Children, obey your parents, for this is right." I don't know why he started with that one. But one of the second, I think it was the second one, was King James Version, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The word of truth, handled rightly, rightly divided, allows for me before God to not be ashamed. And so if I want to be right with God, I need to use the word of God, the word of truth, to dictate what is right and what is wrong. Hebrews chapter 4, the last verse of the chapter, verse 16, tells me that by a exercise or use of this book, I am able to judge, literally to discern properly, good from evil. So all year long, I need to make sure that whatever I decide is something that the Bible would tell me is the right thing to do. We have a great example of that. The way he chose to teach. He chose to teach that way because of what the book of Psalms said. Read Matthew 12. Whenever somebody came to him with a question, he would more times than not ask, What do the scriptures say? What do you read? Almost the last thing that he said was, I thirst. And he didn't say it because he was thirsty. John tells me he said it that the scriptures might be fulfilled. You see, Jesus tells us he didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. As we read in Matthew chapter 7. He said, I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John chapter 8, verses 36 to 39. Jesus Christ lived his life, and everything that he did, every word that he said, every inflection of his voice, every decision that he made, every thought that he harbored, every act that he engaged, no matter who came into his life, no matter what they did to him, every single time, Jesus did what was right because the word of truth dictated his path. Now it's time to take a test. I told you it was coming. Are you ready? Here's right, here's wrong. Which way do you go so that you can make sure that you're right? That all depends on how you spell the word right. So here's the test. We'll start over here. The letter R stands for what word? Relationship with God. Correct. Over here, the word I, a letter I stands for what word? Influence, and influence for others, for good. The letter behind the young people. Yeah, you people have been asleep all morning long. Okay? The letter G stands for what word? Glorify. Glorify whom? Glorify God with our actions. Now up here. No, we'll wait. Over here, the letter H stands for hurt. We're not going to hurt anybody. And y'all have been so good. No, y'all haven't. Y'all have been so good to spell for me. I'm going to skip this section. And we're going to go right here to the young people so that one more time he can say the letter T stands for truth. The truth being God's word of truth. Let's close with a word picture. I don't know if you've ever gone frog gigging like I used to. But we would come up on frogs in the, we called them in Texas, stock ponds. How's that, man? Stock pond. We go to stock ponds, we'd frog gig. We'd come up on with our gig behind the frog, we'd find them, and we'd come up and we'd get over it, and we'd get that far from the frog with our gig, and what would it do? Boom! It would jump. It would jump into the water, and we'd miss it. I meant that happened several times until we decided we got it. So what we started doing, we started bringing our 22s. We'd spot them across the pond. We'd see their two eyes shining in the light. We would just aim between the two spots, and they're not jumping anywhere. They're falling back, and you got frog legs. Now, I use that to illustrate, how does a frog get into a stock pond? Whoop. One swift leap. You ever watched, Garth, you ever watched a cow go into a stock pond? Being raised on a dairy, not one swift leap, is it? It's just a slow, easy, moseying one old step at a time until suddenly they find themselves neck deep in that stock pond. All year long, you and I are going to be faced with decisions. When we find ourselves in sin, I want you to know this. You didn't jump in it. It didn't just boom happen. You got there one step at a time until you found yourself neck deep in sorrow. Now I'm going to tell you how to keep your feet dry. Just spell the word right. And filter all of your decisions through those words that we have discussed this morning. Now, it could be that you're a brother or sister in Jesus this morning, and you haven't been right. You're a disappointment to our Father. The joy of being a Christian is our Father says, come home, and He will welcome us back into His heart. When we ask our brothers and sisters to pray for our forgiveness, perhaps your life is just an absolute mess and you want to get right with God for the very first time and become a Christian. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're willing to change the way you think and therefore live in repentance. And what you need to do is be immersed in water to have the blood of Jesus take away all of your past sins. And we can help you with that too. I want to leave this worship service and live all day long being able to say, I'd rather be right with God than anything else. Can we help you this morning? Do we need to help you this morning? We're going to have a couple of elders standing right here, and they would be more than happy to take you by the hand or embrace you and let you know we've...